Thursday afternoon, a rivalry Thursday. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we are at Sevier County High School, home of the Fighting Sam Foremans, where tonight the Smoky Bears play host to Jefferson County. As Jimmy, it's high school football time.
Gosh, can you believe it? It is here, and you can feel the excitement in the air. We're going to have great weather tonight. Should be a tremendous matchup tonight with Jefferson County versus Sevier County. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think there's going to be a wonderful crowd here tonight as well.
I think so as well. You couldn't ask for a better night to kick off high school football. It just feels really good outside, which made me think to congratulate you on the fact that you made it past Sevierville Golf Club, because today would be a great day to be playing 18 or more, wouldn't it?
The wheels on my car were turning right, and I wasn't sure if it was going to be for the water park or the golf.
There you go.
But I had to just keep turning it back. No, you cannot go over there, car. So, it was, but it is, what a beautiful day, and should be a fantastic weather tonight.
We look forward to talking high school football with Mark Packer, as, of course, he leads the charge on Rivalry Thursday. He'll have the coverage with Austin Price, Eric Kane, and his fantastic crew that kick off another outstanding season of high school football coverage. Mark will join us to start hour number two of the program to just give us the lowdown on tonight's matchup between the Smoky Bears and the Patriots, as well as the schedule in front for Rivalry Thursday. We will get a practice report again today from Eric Kane, but Jimmy, with a rivalry Thursday, and Eric, of course, having some responsibilities as the sideline reporter for Austin and Mark, we'll catch up with him just a little bit earlier today than we normally do.
Yeah, we'll go at around 4:45, 4:50, something like that. We've got the beat writer that covers Pittsburgh at 4:30, 4:35, so it'll be close to that end of that hour.
That's right, and from Chris Peak, we'll get the latest information from Panther Lair, which is who he writes for. So that'll be around 4:30 that we look forward to catching up with Chris. And then Brent Hubbs will be along for his weekly visit at 5 o'clock. And we get to catch up with not one, but I believe two John Chavises tonight, correct?
Yes, we got two John Chavises. And we're going to go with John Chavis Sr., John Chavis Jr. There's a 5K run coming up, and they're going to be involved in that. So we look forward to having them join us.
That'll be around 6:15 or so. So we have that. We have comments from Tennessee football and so much more. We, of course, invite your phone calls, but it's a full afternoon, the first Rivalry Thursday afternoon, and we always say thank you to those individuals that make it possible for us to follow along on Rivalry Thursday, and that would be our friends at OEB Law and Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair.
Yep, and they might find us here. You know, we've had hideouts in the past from OEB, but I think you might find us.
But we look forward to that. So it's a busy day today on Sports Talk as we've made it to the start of high school football, which means 2 weeks from today, Tennessee kicks off.
How about that? Ball State. Yes, it's just around the corner. All right, let's get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters. Technology you need, people that you can trust. Tennessee announcing this morning they're going to be wearing the smoky gray uniforms, the original smoky gray uniforms, and they're going to do it each of the next 3 years after this. So it'll be a four-year run where they're going to wear the smoky grays. They did not say which game they would use it for. Last year they had black uniforms and white helmets that beat South Carolina, lost to Georgia, but they're going to go with the smoky grays each of the next 4 years. Looked at Jerry Palm with CBS, his bold predictions, B-O-W-L, not B-O-L-D, bold predictions. And he's got Tennessee in the Citrus Bowl January the 2nd in Orlando against Penn State. Now, that used to be fighting words when you said citrus around Tennessee, but now the citrus is welcome.
That's right.
So, but he's got Tennessee against Penn State January the 2nd.
How do you spell citrus?
I think you need a U and a T, something like that. There was a smart-alecky coach at Florida that came up with that one. College football playoffs, he's got Alabama and Oklahoma in one semifinal, Georgia and Ohio State in the other. In the Sugar Bowl, Texas A&M against Baylor. And the what used to be the Outback Bowl, it's a bowl in Tampa now, Florida versus Wisconsin. That's pretty optimistic for Florida, in my opinion. That's also January the 2nd. December 31st, it's Music City, Kentucky against Michigan State. The Gator Bowl, December the 30th, Arkansas against Miami. Texas Bowl, Mississippi State against Iowa State. That's December 28th. Also on the 28th, the Liberty Bowl, Ole Miss against Kansas State. December 27th, Birmingham Bowl, South Carolina and Maryland. And December the 17th, LSU and Washington in the Las Vegas Bowl. So those are his projections. One other, he's got Pitt against Iowa in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, December 30th. All right, the big news in the NFL today, Deshaun Watson. There was an agreement reached by the NFL and the NFLPA. Deshaun Watson will be suspended 11 games, fined $5 million, and it's reported he has already signed off on this agreement. He talked with the media at length. He actually handles himself pretty well until he comes up with things like this. I still stand by my innocence. Now, you apologized last week for all the women that you impacted.
Correct.
You're going to go through treatment. You're accepting an 11-game fine, and yet you're standing by your innocence. He was asked, well, if you're innocent.
Why'd you apologize?
It was actually, do you think it's as unfair? And he said, well, I can't comment about it being unfair. I've got to keep my opinion to myself. So anyway, that still bothers me that he's not willing to acknowledge that. And he'll take the fine and the suspension, but he won't acknowledge that he did anything wrong, which really turns me off of him and the Browns for all these shenanigans. But anyway, that's the latest with Deshaun Watson. It looks like Jacoby Brissett's going to likely be their starter. There'd been talk about them pursuing Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll see if that happens. Watson was also asked about how the judge and others have said this was predatory behavior, and he did say, "Look, I'm going to tell my side of the story. Now's not the right time, but eventually I'll tell my side of the story." He might be best not to try to do that.
Yep.
I think he's fibbed enough. So. All right, that's the latest on Deshaun Watson. There was also a note that came out that Pete Thamel reported this yesterday. The College Football Board of Managers, that's 11 commissioners involved with this, basically, that they had a two-hour Zoom meeting on Monday, and 5 minutes of that Zoom included a discussion about restructuring college football with the governance outside of the NCAA. If that were to occur, it would be under the auspices of the College Football Playoff Committee. So I really don't know how that would work. I don't know that you need a separation there. I don't know that the NCAA is holding you back from anything. You set your own rules now as it is, so I'm not sure what that accomplishes, but they may be going in that direction, but since there is that discussion about that. Todd McShay came out with his NFL position ranks, ESPN draft analyst. He's got Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker ranked the number 13 quarterback in the draft. I'd have him higher. Cedric Tillman, the number 7 wide receiver. And linebacker defensive end Byron Young is the number 10 outside linebacker. I'm okay with that except for Hooker. John, I'd have him higher.
I would as well. And none of the three from Tennessee that wound up being ranked in a position group were in the top 50 in terms of that was the kind of the impetus for that collection was here are your top 50 draft prospects going into this college football season for next year. And I thought Tillman might or Young might be able to, just crack that top 50, but neither did. And I'm like you. I do think that for whatever reason, Hendon Hooker is being devalued in regards to conference quarterback ranks going into this fall campaign. And then also, I do think that he is going to open some eyes and generate some interest. I think he will be drafted. I'd be surprised if it were day one or two, but there could be somebody that wants him before the end of the third round, just like we saw with – you just look at his ability to move, his ability to throw the football, and I think you could see for him what we saw with, like, Bayless Jones.
I don't think there are 12 quarterbacks in the country that are better NFL prospects than he is. I'd like to see that list. But the other part of that is this. Certainly as a college quarterback, I would take Hendon Hooker over Will Levis. Mm-hmm. Now, Levis appears to be, in most people's eyes, many people's eyes, a better pro prospect than Hooker. I want to see Levis play a little bit more. When I saw him last year, with rare exception, he put up big numbers against teams that either weren't very good or had a bad defense. And I didn't see a whole lot of good numbers against the better teams. That's the challenge for Will Levis, in my opinion, at Kentucky. Okay, a couple other notes. Heather Dinich of ESPN said that this might come back to bite me in the behind, but she has picked Alabama to beat Georgia twice, once in the SEC championship game, once in the national championship game. Teams that are playing the most top 25 teams in the preseason AP poll, Arkansas and Auburn face five teams in the preseason top 25. You've got four each for Florida, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU. Alabama faces three, so does Miami. Two each for Georgia and Southern Cal and Utah. Tennessee's four, three in the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and then Pitt being the other. So those are the top 25 teams on the Tennessee schedule. All right, bouncing around here, a couple of notes. In tennis, Venus Williams, who's, can't believe, 42 years old, has gotten a wild card into the U.S. Open. It's the 23rd U.S. Open. There's also a wild card for Sofia Kenin and Dominic Thiem, who were the 2020 winners. I don't know why in the world they have to get wild cards. Maybe they've had some injuries and have dropped in the rankings a lot. Rafael Nadal loses in his first match since Wimbledon semifinals. It was a three-setter after his abdominal injury. One thing about Venus Williams that might be a reason that she's getting this wild card, Serena Williams has basically announced that the U.S. Open's her last one. This could be a swan song for both Williams sisters, Serena and Venus. That could be their last U.S. Open. In fact, that's kind of what it looks like. Okay, the Big Ten has signed an epic deal, TV deal, $7 billion is what it amounts to, with NBC, with CBS, and with Fox. Now, it's a seven-year deal, so it's $1 billion a year, and it expires in 2030. It starts in July 1 of 2023. So here are the other deals, and thanks to Jeff Muir for sending this to me, but it was outlined. But the college football playoff had a 12-year deal with ESPN, which expires at the 2025-26 season, for $7.3 billion. That's $608 million a year. And again, the average for the Big Ten deal is $1 billion a year. The SEC deal with the new ESPN deal that starts in 2024, it's a $3 billion deal, so that's $300 million a year. The old SEC deal with CBS was a 15-year deal for $825 million. We thought that was a lot of money. Huh. That's $55 million a year, so a huge increase in the SEC deal. The Pac-12, their deal is their current deal is 12 years. It expires in 2024. It was at $3 billion or $250 million a year. And then the Big Ten's deal with Fox, which expires next year, was at $250 million a year. And the ESPN deal with the Big Ten, which was also a six-year deal, it was for $190 million a year. But that's the look. Notre Dame's deal, and we've mentioned this before, it seemed kind of low, but Notre Dame's deal with NBC, it was a 10-year deal, $15 million a year is what their deal is. So that's a look at the contract that was signed there. And, God, there was some really sad news that came out of Florida. There was a tight end at Florida International that, John, he passed away, and he's 22 years old. I think his name is Luke Knox. They did not
– formerly at Ole Miss.
Yeah. They did not have a reason for the death. There was no cause that was mentioned. I wondered if he's the brother of the Knox that was at Ole Miss.
Knox. His brother's the tight end for the Bills.
Yeah. So – just really sad news, though, that came across. And they'll obviously try to find out exactly what happened. But you just
foul play is not it's not expected there was any foul play. And
correct.
It is such a sad, sad story.
Yeah, really. Okay, there were a couple other notes that I found in regard to. Oh, here's another note. So the number one ranked high school football quarterback, his name is Malachi Nelson. He just recently moved ahead of Arch Manning in the number one player in the country, according to ESPN. He has signed a deal with Clutch Sports. That is the agency's first high school client. He is an Oklahoma commit. So Malachi Nelson signing a deal with Clutch Sports. They did not release the terms of the deal. A couple of notes about the AP poll that came out recently and some notes that I saw that I had not seen the first time around. Kentucky is in the top 25 preseason poll AP for the first time since 1978. LSU is not in it for the first time since 2000. That's when Nick Saban took over as their coach. Yeah. Alabama was not unanimous. There were nine people that did not vote Alabama number one, which gives Nick Saban the disrespect card to play that you know he loves playing.
But none of those voted for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So it's a step above what we saw at SEC Media Days.
Yes. Texas, which was number 27, if you extrapolate the AP poll out, was number 18 in the coaches poll. So certainly a difference of opinion on them. And I was reading where one guy was saying, Why are the preseason polls relevant? Well, they help sell tickets. They also help with expectations. They also help with the interest of the game. I know that there's some people that feel like you shouldn't have preseason polls. You should wait till October to vote on the polls because then you get a truer look at it. And I actually had a discussion with Mike Griffith about that years ago. And so we were kind of on the different part of that. But he said, look, he said the poll that comes out in the middle of October is going to be more reflective of what it should be. Okay. So the Football Writers poll came out October 15th, and the AP poll came out October 15th, and they mirrored each other. There wasn't any difference. So I don't – to me, there's – so what? You want to wait? You're not going to have – the preseason poll does not dictate what the poll's going to look like in October. It
right.
just doesn't. And the majority of the voters do what they're supposed to, reward you based on what you've accomplished to that point.
Yeah. It does not impact – college football the way that perhaps calling an election before the local polls are closed are. I mean, there's just a stark difference between the two, but some like to think it's an apples-to-apples discussion, and it couldn't be further from the case.
No, it's just not. And just so I didn't want it to be a one-year aberration, I looked at it the next year, and it was the same thing. Look, there might have been one team, like somebody might have been 9 in one poll and 10 in the other, but you had that in the coaches' poll.
Right.
You'll have that in any poll. So there just wasn't a distinguishable difference between the Football Writer, and they go 16.
Yes.
There's not a distinguishable difference in that poll in October that comes out and the poll that comes out in the AP poll. Now, the AP poll preseason versus mid-October is going to look different, and it should, because you're going to reward people based on what they've accomplished. But the narrative that the preseason poll skews the poll the rest of the year, that is just not accurate.
No. You were highlighting the other day, Tennessee in 1998 opened the season ranked 10th. It wasn't difficult for Tennessee to climb. Now, granted, there were teams that they just had to wait for their opportunity to work past. So, but Tennessee wasn't undervalued at the start. They just were the last team standing as they made their way eventually to number one. I guess they were number one. Was it after they beat UAB?
Well, that's about right. I don't remember exactly when they climbed
right
to number one.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, there was a team, I don't remember if it was Ole Miss or not. It might have been. There was preseason, wasn't even ranked. Or maybe it was Mississippi State. They were preseason, they weren't even ranked. And then at the start of October, they were number one team in the country. Because they beat a bunch of teams that were ranked highly, and they ascended to that. You typically, with rare exception, typically you get rewarded based on what you do week to week, which is, I think, the way it should be.
Here is quickly, as we want to wrap up our news and notes, C.J. Stroud is rated the number one quarterback in the draft in terms of draft prospects. Bryce Young, number two. Will Levis, three. Number four, Tyler Van Dyke. Number five, Anthony Richardson. Six,
what?
Phil, is it Jerkovic?
Yeah.
At Boston College.
Yeah, yes.
Devin Leary comes in seventh. Keaton Slovis, eighth. Spencer Rattler, ninth. Jaden Daniels, tenth. Jaron Hall, 11th. Tanner McKee at Stanford, number 12. And then Hendon Hooker.
I understand. I was listening earlier to Josh and Swain about booing. Boo! Boo! Yeah, that ranking does not hold water with me. I think it's absurd.
With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. And, of course, we invite you to join us, 865-656-9900, 865-656-9900. Let's check in with Jim. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to see if I could run two quick things by you. And ironically, the one thing I really wanted to talk about, you guys have touched upon. I'm kind of amazed that Hendon Hooker has not gotten more credit or been ranked higher on various lists with the season he had last year. When you look at his interception or his touchdown interception ratio and the amount of yards he ran for and the way he ran that offense, I'm amazed that hasn't gotten more credit, even in the SEC, to look at him as a, you know, fourth, fifth, or sixth, wherever he is in the SEC quarterback ranking, amazes me. Why do you think this is? Because I don't get it.
I'm not sure if I get it either. I wonder if some people are just looking at it and saying, well, he's a system quarterback. He just throws deep routes and he throws screen passes. Well, he does more than that. He also is a heck of a runner. But I like him more than – well, I've got him number two in the SEC. So, obviously, I like him more than a lot of people. And I think he's going to put up numbers that will – justify that when the season's over. But you touched on it, 31 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. My goodness, that's a Tennessee record, and not many quarterbacks in the country that could match that. I expect the touchdowns to go up. Now, I also expect the interceptions to go up a little bit too, because he's going to probably take a couple more chances, which is what happened with Peyton Manning. His interceptions went up in his career because he took some more chances. But I like Hooker a lot, and I'm surprised. And I think he is a good NFL prospect. Not great, but a good NFL prospect.
You know, this thing about system quarterback kind of bugs me in terms of, okay, system quarterback, but it still takes a heck of a quarterback to run that system. I mean, you're running plays every, 12, 15 seconds, and you've got to be a darn good athlete to run that system. So I think it's too easy to just, throw his success, he's a system quarterback, and I know people do that. That's a crutch. You're not doing homework.
Here's where some of that comes from. So you might remember the Houston had that fast-paced offense under John Jenkins, and they had the Klingler brothers, and they threw for 9 million yards. But it didn't translate to the NFL because of what they were doing route running-wise. At Texas Tech, some of those quarterbacks, Graham Harrell and some of these other guys, Cliff Kingsbury, they didn't go on to have success. Pat Mahomes did. But the others were like, oh, well, that's the system. All they do is throw it, and it's underneath. It's bubble screens, and they don't even run pass routes. They just – and so you got a little bit of that going on. But I think Mahomes kind of shattered that theory. But I get where some people are coming from, because we've seen some quarterbacks in the past in those offenses that did not translate to the NFL. But we also have seen some that did. And I think Hooker's one that will.
Yep. The other thing I was going to run by you quickly, a day or two ago, you were quoting an article of some guy who had written about the ranking the stadiums in the SEC.
Yeah.
And in this article, he had Missouri higher than both, I believe, Kentucky and Arkansas.
Yeah.
I was flabbergasted. You got to be kidding me.
Well, I think that was before Tennessee ran for 468 yards on them, and they had 16 people left in the stands. He must not have seen that. Yeah, I didn't get that either. I made note of that. That, to me, was absurd. To me, Missouri's down there with Vanderbilt. Those are the two worst, and I don't even think it's close, in my opinion.
I tell you what, Jimmy, I give Vanderbilt a lot of credit, because it's exciting at Vanderbilt, if nothing more than all the visiting fans coming.
Yeah, the economic boost to Vanderbilt, to Nashville.
Really?
When
I had to work for a living, I had to go to Columbia, Missouri several times. It's a nice town. It's never been an SEC town in my estimation. The culture is totally different, and the stadium is not SEC type for most of the SEC, and that just blew me away. I'll take Arkansas and Kentucky any day over Missouri.
How about this sentence? Missouri puts on a show for Saturday home games. What? They do?
Really? They do?
And then he doesn't rank them very high in anything. The stadium location is the second lowest in the ranking. They don't have the bar scene. It's 1.3 miles from the stadium. Nearly zero parking or tailgating options. Crush the overall score. No, you didn't. I thought that was probably the most misplaced ranking of any, or one of them.
That was crazy. Well, guys, appreciate it. You guys have a good afternoon.
You too, Jim. Thank you very much. Today, it's Sevier County High. Tonight, the Smoky Bears play host to Jefferson County as the start of high school football is here with Rivalry Thursday. We're brought to you by OEB Law and by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair.
Let's hear now from Mike Eckler. He's Tennessee's special teams coordinator as well as outside linebackers coach. He met with the media yesterday. Hear comments from Coach Eckler.
Hey, Coach, who's been working on kickoff return and at punt return?
We've had a ton of guys on punt return. We've had Trey Flowers. We've had D. Williams, kickoff return, Jimmy Holiday. We've got Samson back there. We've got Nico. We got a bunch of guys and a lot of guys that are capable and really excited about it. You know, Bayless is a hard guy to replace, but we're going to do it by committee.
How comforting is it to have your specialist back in terms of punter and kicker and – and how much easier does that make, you know, preparing for a season when you're settled there?
A lot. I mean, it's great. We got snappers back. We got two kickers back. You know, punters. I mean, we got great continuity in that room. Those guys pull for each other. Great work ethic. Come to work every day. And I know it sounds like coach speak, but that's facts. And really, really appreciate those guys. And they work their tails off. So we're excited about it.
How comforting is it to have Paxton Brooks back healthy? Do you expect to have him on kickoffs this year? And then we hadn't had a chance to talk to you about Jackson Ross as far as just, you know, what he can bring to the table with him getting to campus now long term.
Is the word of the day comforting? I'm just messing with you. No, it's great. I mean, yeah, Paxton's been banging them off, banging them on kickoffs, and, you know, Toby is too. I mean, shoot, we didn't have any returns the last six games on our kickoff last year, and Toby did a great job, but Paxton's done an awesome job. Jackson Ross, can't understand half of what he says, but no, it's joking. But he's going to be a really good addition. He just got here late, so anxious to see what he can do live. You know, seen it on Zoom and seen on film, but really excited about him and excited about all our guys.
What's the philosophy, yours and Coach Happel's, about using starters, offense, defense, and punt and kick and coverage teams?
Well, what we try and do is we try and develop our guys too. I mean, you look at Christian Charles last year, you look at Nico Slaughter, there's a bunch of guys that played Rutger that are now, you know, T-Mac. I mean, those guys are start, a lot of them. But they played 30 snaps a game last year, and they didn't even blink when they got in on defense. And then in the offseason, they're ready to rock and roll, and they're game tested. So really, you got young guys like, you know, Jordan Thomas, you got Elijah, you got Caleb, you got a bunch of young guys that are hungry and ready to go, and then you got a bunch of veteran guys. So it's kind of a mixture, and it's a mixture of developing guys, mixture of getting key guys out there, keeping tread on the tires of the starters, and giving guys roles on this football team. And that's ultimately, we want as many guys to play as possible that can go out there and play at a championship level.
Coach, I'm sure it's not where you guys want it to be yet, but depth-wise, things look much improved on the defense this year, just in terms of bodies, numbers. What about your unit in particular? You know, do you feel like that's the case with your unit at the linebacker?
I mean, we got two young guys. I mean, I'm sure you're talking about Josh and James. And you know, Josh is he's really coming along, and so is James. But James is a little bit more raw. And Josh is a little more seasoned in a certain sense, but both those guys have just an incredible amount of talent and unbelievable work ethic, great kids, just figuring it out. They're true freshmen. They just got here. And so the sky's the limit for them. They stay the course. They keep busting their tail. And you're talking about two guys that are, you know, 6'5", coming off the edge, and they can flat out go. And they got great instincts, and they love to play the game. So beyond excited. And then add in Roman and BY, and you got a great crew.
Coach, who are some freshmen that you've observed early on in these first couple of weeks that you think are really going to be able to help you on special teams this year?
Man, like I said, I mean, I named a few of them. You got Elijah. You got Caleb Perry. You got, Samson is tearing it up, doing a great job. Squirrel's doing a nice job. Jordan Thomas and, you know, Nimrod, and I'm leaving out a bunch, trust me. But, and then you got D. Williams, not a freshman, but just got here. I mean, he's electric. So there's a ton of guys and really, we got a chance to be special.
Coach, going back to Josh and James, where have you seen them grow the most over these past couple of weeks, and how do you sort of manage expectations? Those guys came in highly touted. I'm sure a lot of people would like to see them on the field. How do you sort of manage their expectations going into their freshman seasons?
Well, managing the expectations, I mean, those guys, I've told them both, they got to think of themselves as seniors, because you got those seniors out here, they expect that out of them, and they're not freshmen. They got to go out and they step on the field. They got to execute. And they got to execute at championship level. And if they can't do that, then they're not going to be out there. So that's the challenge, to get them to that level, to get them to that point where they can go out and Coach Banks feels comfortable about putting them in. And they're going to play on special teams for us too early. So we'll get them rocking and rolling out there. And as the season goes, you should see their development, and you should see their roles probably increasing.
Yeah, back to special teams and a punt returner. Velas is really good in that role. Where's the balance in a guy who maybe is a risk taker back there versus putting a guy back there who you know is going to have the ball at the end of the play? What's kind of the balance, risk-reward, with that position and trying to figure out who to put back there?
Well, we're kind of greedy. We want both. You know, I mean, we want a guy who can strike up Rocky Top. That's the objective. We get a pitch to hit, and we want to hear our fight song. And so that's it. We feel like we work so much with these guys in the off season and during the season with ball security and catching the ball. We feel like we can get the best of both worlds, and we're going to.
At the Leo spot, how many do you feel like can help you this year? Would it be all four? Is it three of the four? And then is there ever a situation where you could see not just two of them, but maybe three of them on the field at the same time, maybe in a pass rushing situation?
Shoot, as we get going, there might be four of them. I mean, those guys, the sky's the limit. And again, it's on them, it's on me to get them ready. And I just think as the season goes on, you're going to see more and more out of both of them. And just remember, I mean, they just got here. And I'm not making excuses for me or them or anything, but I mean, they're going to be, those guys are going to be incredible players when it's all said and done. And it's just getting them to that point. And I think you're going to be excited what you see.
Mike, how do you get across sort of the mentality you want on special teams with young guys? I know that there's some things in terms of hitting that you can't quite do every day like you'd like to on special teams. How do you get guys to sort of get the motor running for that?
Well, we talk about everything we do on special teams, how it makes you a better football player, how it makes you better offensively, defensively. And we've got probably a different philosophy than a lot of people. We spend an unbelievable amount of time just working technique, and then we put it together. So we work stance and start on our punt team, on our punt return team, on our blocks, on everything. And our kids, we don't move on until they perfect it, and then we move on. And we don't give them a million rules. You know, we legitimately give them, teach them techniques, teach them and tell them make a full speed decision and apply your tools. And so I think the kids enjoy it. And every day, Coach Heupel get in a team meeting, and he'll have clips, we call them transferable skills, right? Where you'll see a defensive back go out there and eye stun a guy. You'll see him snag him. You'll see a receiver do the same thing. Every technique that we work and see how it transfers over to the offensive side, to the defensive side. And ultimately, Coach Heupel's vision, our vision, we want to be the best technique team in America, and we want to be a physical team. And that's what we really harp on. And our kids, they see it. I mean, you can talk all you want, but I mean, the film doesn't lie. And when you see it every day and you see guys improving and they see it going into making them a better player in offense, making them a better player in defense, that's all you need. And I love it.
As soon as you got here, you were so complimentary of Knoxville, wanted to get out on the water to work and things like that. A year and a half in, what's life in Knoxville like for you representing the University of Tennessee, having your daughter on the volleyball team? How's it changed or enhanced even more?
Love this place. I mean, love who I work for, you know, all the administration, Hype, all the coaches, the players, the community has been incredible. I mean, you look outside in the morning, you drive in, you drive right, I live right on the water. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, that's what the good Lord wanted for me. I know that. As far as getting out on the water as much, it's kind of crazy. I actually had neck surgery at the beginning of July. But I like to tell people, I had surgery, got out at 3:00, drove myself home that night, drove to work the next morning. Was out on the practice field rocking and rolling. Had the same surgery that Peyton Manning had. And got on the elliptical for an hour. I've been rocking and rolling ever since. So, but I couldn't ski this year. That's my point. Couldn't water ski, which killed me. So next year, watch out, man. It's not going to be safe on the lakes around here.
Like sort of as camp goes along everywhere, you know, you see those times late in camp when you just see more non-contact jerseys. Guys are getting dinged up. How do you kind of keep guys pushing at that point? Because seems like one of those times where you kind of reach a fork in the road and you got to kind of pick a path?
Our kids, I mean, if they're able to go, they're going to go. And if they're not, they're not. We've got an unbelievable training staff, trust those guys, and our players trust them. So you're not here at the University of Tennessee if you don't love the game. So it kills those kids not being out there and being able to go full go, get full go. But, you know, we'll get them back and ready to roll. But that we don't have an issue. We don't have an issue with here. I mean, guys are begging to get out of a red jersey if they're in one.
That's all. I guess I was asking about keeping the guys fired up every day when you know, the camp miles kind of pick up a little bit. How do you, you know, get having different techniques to get guys kind of motivated every day?
Yeah, I mean, I told him the other day, I asked him, I'll ask you guys the same question. If I told you tomorrow when you wake up, I'm going to give you $30 million, would you be fired up? Would you?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah. What if I told you tomorrow, I'm going to give you $50 million, but you're not going to wake up? I'm asking. Wouldn't be real fired up?
Probably wake up for 30. I don't know.
No. I mean, that's not the option. Point being, our day is worth more than $40, $50 million. And so when you look at it that way, as a football player, as a human, you're either getting better or worse. And so if you say you want to be a pro, I mean, do your actions match your expectations? Are you talking about it or are you being about it? And it's about staying focused. And I was driving to work last week and I was thinking about it, and there's like 99% of the people in this world want to be great. Would you agree with that? Yeah, they're called wannabes. 1% work to be great. Drop the mic on that.
Appreciate you guys.
Mike Eckler, Tennessee special teams coach, outside linebackers coach, and yes, his chili runs hot.
I always enjoy hearing what he has to say. And again, it's Rivalry Thursday. We're brought to you by OEB Law and by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. Jimmy, it's been something to watch everybody getting ready for tonight's game here at Sevier County High, but you've got a number of groups awfully busy right now. There's quite a buzz around the home of the Smoky Bears.
Well, you're right. And you've seen a lot of folks walking in and out of the stadium getting ready for it. And you know they're very excited about the season opener, getting football started. You couldn't ask for much better weather. So it looks like we should have a great weather and a great football game.
That's right. We've seen members of the band getting ready, folks already manning the concession stand, making sure everything's set up that way. We've seen the cheerleaders as well as the dance team. And it's one of the seniors for the dance team, Trinity Archer, who was kind enough to ask for a shout-out. So, Trinity Archer, hope you and your dance team have a fantastic season this year and a great performance tonight. But we'll get a break. Up next, hour number two is Sports Talk. Stay with us. Mark Packer joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.